This is the Sons and Slaves Podcast. This is a show devoted to helping fathers and sons honor and obey the Lord. Join me, Jared, and my sons, Ransom and Valor, as I talk to them about boyhood and the process of becoming a man.
Podcast
from
your
co-host,
Valor, and Dad.
That was pretty good.
And
Fluffaluffagus. Why don't you guys go ahead and tell everybody who Fluffy is.
Fluffy is our cat. We had the other one. We had Harper.
Because Keith made his debut, but Keith disappeared on us.
Mm-hmm. He was my kitten.
Yeah, so
I had 1,000 kittens.
Yeah. Yeah, Ransom went ahead and brought Keith in. Or not Keith. Keith is the last one. Yeah, we've had so many. This is Fluffy. But Valor got a new kitty. You pretty excited about Fluffy?
Yeah.
Fluffy's a good cat. Mm-hmm. It's a good cat. Mm-hmm. Really cute. Doesn't poop all over the place like Keith did. So that's good.
She's only pooped once.
Yeah, that's right. I think, well, I cleaned some out of that. For some reason, Fluffy really likes the shower that we use. Because I found turds in the shower.
How many times?
A couple times.
Ew!
She poops more than you guys realize because there's a dad that cleans up the poop before you guys see it. It's gross. So what's new? Anything else besides Fluffy?
We're going on a vacation.
I got it.
At 4 today.
I got a car that I really, really like.
It's a really cool truck. It's that gray, or not gray, it's kind of like the tan sand color.
Yeah, and kind of brown.
F-150 Raptor, I believe is what it is.
It's awesome.
It's pretty cool looking. Not a real truck, guys. This
it
is
goes
a,
super smooth.
Yeah, it's a toy truck. What is that, like a matchbox or something like that? But it's pretty cool. We are going house-sitting for some friends of ours. It's going to be a good time. We get to fish and ride around side by side, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, anything else? Why don't we go ahead and put that car down because I think people might hear that. Yeah. Yeah. They're definitely going to hear the truck. So let's put that down and focus on our conversation today because we have a really good conversation.
Huh? You're going to have to edit that?
No, I'm going to leave that in, man. Yeah. So we've got a really important discussion today. It's about working before resting. Work before rest. No rest before work. We have to work hard. We talk a lot about work, and Bob talks a lot about work. This is no rest without work. Let's go ahead and pray, and then I think this is going to be really helpful, and for the listening audience out there, you're going to be required to think through the life that you get to live, especially the young boys. They're listening in, and they're going to recognize how much work goes into the life that they get to live, and that work is done by their parents and the people who love them around them, and we're going to think about some really good things, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for this time. I ask for blessing upon it. There's so much work that's required for us to live the lives that you've given us to live, and we just thank you for all that you've done on our behalf, the most important work, which is the work of Jesus in his life, death, and resurrection. He did his work perfectly that we could be in right relationship, that we could be in fellowship with God. And so we're just so thankful for that. Holy Spirit, thank you for opening our eyes to the truth of the cross. And now, as we think about life as a worker and all the work that goes into our lives from the people who love us, help us to be thankful for that, and then also help us to work for the good of other people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, you guys ready for this?
Yep.
All right, listen. Let's have fruit for breakfast, Mom announces. Great idea, responds Dad. I'll go get it. Now, did we announce yet? We didn't announce. We are in Boyhood and Beyond. We did announce the chapter title, but this is Bob Schultz. I know we forgot our drink. So what are you guys drinking today? Imaginary what?
Nothing.
Imaginary chai tea latte?
Yeah.
I am drinking a really amazing hot cup of hot chocolate. It's imaginary, but my goodness, it is amazing. It tastes great. It's just the perfect cup of hot cocoa. What's your imaginary drink, Ransom?
Milk.
Now back to the book. Dad grabs the large silver bowl on the porch and heads out to the orchard. On the way, he stops at the young apple tree in the rabbit pen and puts a few apples in the bowl. Inside the orchard fence, he finds a late pear begging to go to breakfast. The Prima apple tree offers 4 apples. Purple Italian plums join the pile, along with some tight clusters of green seedless grapes. Behind the garden, Dad gently lifts a pear. Without effort, it breaks from the branch, declaring itself eligible for picking. By the way, that's how you know a pear is ready. If you barely touch it, it'll pop off. A few more apples join the group, and Dad returns to the kitchen. A short walk rewards Dad with a harvest of fruit more than enough to feed his family. So they're going to have fruit for breakfast. Pears, apples, plums. Sounds like a pretty good breakfast. What's your favorite fruit?
Raspberries.
Raspberries?
Banana.
Bananas are good. Bananas are really good with smoothies. Bananas are one of my favorite fruits as well.
Strawberry banana.
Now, this is where...
Strawberry banana smoothie is really good.
That combo...
Chocolate Hulk.
Oh, Chocolate Hulk is so good. Goodness, it's amazing. All right, guys. Here's where Bob is going to bring us to the point where we're going to have to use our thinking caps. We're going to have to use our brains. We're going to get a little bit smarter thinking about all the work that's done in and around our house. Listen to this. This harvest seemed restful, and it was. But it would have never happened without many hours of work. Okay, now get this in your mind. The dad walks outside and picks a few pieces of fruit. Comes back, and they're able to have fruit for breakfast. That sounds like a wonderful breakfast with family, sitting around probably drinking some coffee, maybe eating a few bacon and eggs on the side. But it's a great, restful breakfast. But here's what he wants us to think about. To get to that point required a lot of work beforehand. Can you guys think through the work that was required before you go out and just pick the apple tree and pick the plum and the peaches?
You have to plant all the trees.
You have to plant the trees? What goes into planting a tree?
Hard work.
Or hard work? You have to clear ground. You have to dig. You have to water. And then you have to wait years. And then it starts to produce fruit.
Yeah, we have a... Peach tree out there.
Two peach trees?
Two peach trees. We haven't got a single peach. Nope. And we planted probably six or 7 years ago.
It's been a long time. For some reason, they are not doing well. And then we have two apple trees. And the apple trees, we've not gotten a single apple.
Remember when I was at Papa's house?
Yes, I do remember this.
The only day that he had apples was that day.
And he picked every apple off the apple tree, but they weren't ready to be picked yet.
Yeah.
And you were thinking, oh, I'm doing so much good for Mima and Papu. I'm picking all their apples for them. And it was way too early. You know, normally they're picked in the fall, but it was in the middle of the summer. And
it was the early summer.
Was it early summer? And Valor decided to pick all the apples. I think Mima and Papu got a good kick out of that.
Yeah.
It was kind of funny. All right, so you guys have already been thinking through this, and I want you to hear what Bob says. The harvest was restful, but it would have never happened without the hours of hard work. Dad and Mom had bought the ground 14 years before. So that was the first thing that had to happen. The dad and mom bought the property. They logged a portion large enough to build a house and plant gardens. So they had to cut all the trees down, big enough for them to build a house and plant a garden. Then they bought young trees, dug the holes to plant them. They pruned and watered and fertilized and sprayed for worms, built a fence to keep the deer out. All that was behind them now. Dad picked enough fruit for breakfast and sits at the table eating with his family. Dad rests because he worked first. Work before rest. Often we say work before play, but that's not what life's about. Life's not just about playing. Certainly that's required, but work and then we rest and then we rest so we can work again. Work, rest, work. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, like a rope and heel. Like, yeah, doing my, my computer.
Yeah?
Yeah, and I did one book.
Like when you're writing your books.
Yeah.
So we work and then rest, and work and then we rest. How many days do we work? How many days do we rest?
We work 6 days, we rest one.
Now, it seems like that's a pretty important pattern. Where in the world could that have come from?
Jesus.
Well, we got that from God, didn't we? Mm-hmm. Listen to this. Right in the beginning, God sets the example for work and rest because he created the world. He worked 6 days, then rested on the seventh. He not only set the example, but he made it the law of the universe just as sure as the law of gravity. There's always work before rest. If there is any rest in your life, it's because you or somebody else has worked for it. Now, listen to this. There's a huge chain reaction here. It's amazing. Shane lays himself down to sleep in an average American home. While lying there, he considers the work that others have done to allow him to rest comfortably. When you guys go to bed, isn't your bed just amazing and cozy?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You get under your covers. You get your lights, you do your book reading, and you just lay there, and you're just cozy. Is there any bed as comfortable as your bed?
Yeah, then I go to the bathroom 1,000 times.
Yeah, then you go to the bathroom because Valor's in this mode right now where he's thinking about having to pee all the time. So he gets up, goes pee, and then he thinks, wait a minute, did I get it all out? And then he gets up and he goes pee, and then he lays back in bed, and then he's thinking, wait a minute, did I get it all out? And then he gets up and he goes pee, and then he lays back in, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You're laying in bed. Is there any bed as cozy as your own bed?
My parents.
Well, obviously, it's somehow Dad and Mom's bed is just amazing and comfortable. Mm-hmm. You don't get to sleep there, do you?
No.
No. Sometimes when you're sick, you get to make a big pallet. We make a air mattress blow up, and we let you guys sleep in there.
Is yeah, if we feel really bad and puke.
If you puke, yeah, if you get pukey.
Or have a really bad headache.
Yeah, something like that.
I never get headaches.
But now, as we're laying in bed, it's a good time to reflect upon why we get to rest and be so peaceful. Because listen to what Shane was thinking. He considered, Mom sewed my pajamas. Uncle Peter built my bed. Someone in a factory made my blankets and my pillow. My sister washed my sheets. Dad built our house. Shane could continue counting for a long time if he considered all the people who have worked to provide pleasant community and free country where he can lay his head in peace. Imagine being dropped off in the middle of a jungle alone. Could you sleep peacefully?
Absolutely not.
No, right? Because you'd be there and you wouldn't have your blankets, you wouldn't have your bed, you wouldn't have a cozy home or a warm or a cool place to sleep.
But
you'd just be in the jungle.
The only thing that would be pretty good would be kind of like leaves. Leaves are kind of like...
It could be comfortable.
Yeah.
You could pile leaves, maybe sleep on the leaves. But then a tiger could come and kill you when you're sleeping.
That would not be.
Imagine being eaten alive as you sleep in the jungle all alone.
Snakes can eat you.
There's some snakes. Anacondas probably are big enough.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That would be an awful way to go. Mm-hmm. Being wrapped up by an anaconda. Make sure your feet don't hit the desk here.
Anacondas are my favorite snake.
Man, I just do not like anacondas.
Yeah. I don't like snakes, period.
I'm not the biggest snake fan. Spiders don't bother me one bit, but snakes do. So you wouldn't want to be just dropped off in the jungle. How scary would that be if you just woke up in the middle of the night and you look up and you're in the jungle?
It would be terrifying.
You wouldn't be restful.
I have something to say.
What?
If you ever find a frog that is just pure yellow, just don't touch it because, you know, something. Dart frogs. As soon as you touch them, dead.
They can kill you, can't they? Wow, that's wild.
Most likely nobody listens to this podcast that lives in the jungle.
Yeah, most likely, because if people live in the jungle, they probably don't have a smartphone. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, many people in America don't rest peacefully in their beds. Part of the reason is that someone has stopped working. Someone has begun to take instead of give. You catch that?
Mm-hmm.
If you're a taker instead of a giver, that produces problems. When a society has more takers than givers, that society loses its peacefulness. What do you think one of the problems that we're facing in this world today is?
Peacefulness? A bunch of things.
Well, we have a lot of takers in this world, but not a lot of givers, don't we?
Mm-hmm. In AFV, there's always a funny video, and it says, you know what the world needs now? And our whole family says at the same time, Jesus.
That's true. That's what the world needs now is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the main problems we see in the world is that. It's people that are lazy and they're expecting to get from people rather than living a life that is giving to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And you can either be a getter or you can be a giver. And we want to be generous, don't we? We don't want to hoard and just get everything we can all for ourselves. We want to accumulate as God gives us so we can be generous and give to others.
Mm-hmm.
If God gives to us, we give to others. Yeah. It just is like a flow right through us. God gives, we give. That's how we want to live.
Yeah,
now,
it's tempting you to like not do it if it's a really good toy.
Mm-hmm. If it's something you really love. Sometimes it's really okay to enjoy a gift.
Yeah, it was like really tempting for me to give one of my birthday toys to Bob.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well listen. You guys are in the process of becoming men, but you're not men yet. And Bob says a few things to a boy. A boy begins his life with others working for him. His mother goes through labor just to bring him into the world. During his early days, he simply sleeps and eats while others work to provide food and a warm bed for him to lay down. And then they just get their butts wiped by their parents all the time because they're pooping and peeing everywhere. Other people are working for them. Have you ever seen a baby wipe their own butt?
No,
they can't do that. Babies can't. Can Oak do that? Oak can't do that.
Here's something funny.
What?
You will get a giant kick out of.
What?
Dad saw this. Dad was changing Oak's pants. And all of a sudden, He just pees a perfect arch into his mouth.
He peed all over his face. It was gross, into his mouth. He was shocked, too. Because babies can't, they don't know what's going on. They're dependent upon people, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
They're expecting other people to work for them. I mean, that's what has to happen. Boys were not created to remain babies relying on the work of others. Part of becoming a man means becoming the kind of man that works so that others may rest. Work so that other people may rest. Now, there is a time for a man to rest at the conclusion of a day of work. Be careful to not cultivate the attitude of working so that you can play. This is critical. There is a time to play. Some men see jobs as a way to earn money just to buy toys for their day off. Rather, have the attitude that you plan your rest and play so that you may be refreshed to work more. You see that? That's where play fits in. Plan your rest and play so that you may be refreshed to work more. So rest and play have their part in our lives. It is really great to rest. It is really good to be able to play and have a good time or even go on vacation. But all of that is to ramp us up to be productive in this world, to work hard in this world. Now, George Washington was a man who knew a little bit about work. You guys know about George Washington, right?
Yeah.
What was, or who was, George Washington?
The first president.
George Washington, he didn't have to work each day because he grew up wealthy. He could have enjoyed living at his home, Mount Vernon, and reaping the benefits of previous work done for him. However, Washington wanted to help provide for all the Americans by working to create a free nation. For him, it meant many years of war and years of politics. Refusing rest, he worked. We still receive the benefits today from Washington's work hundreds of years later, almost 250 years later. It's truly, it's amazing. Many parents have worked hard, like Washington, to pass on the rewards of their labors to their children in the form of an inheritance. Work of previous generations builds. Now, if you guys walk in wisdom, if me and your mom walk in wisdom, the inheritances that we will one day get from people who have gone before us, we won't waste it, we won't squander it, we'll build on it. So that builds for you guys, where you guys are in a better place than we were. And then you guys live wisely, you guys work hard, you guys just don't live a life of play and goofing off. As you work hard, then what ends up happening is the work compounds, it grows, it builds from one generation to the next. That means you guys, by God's grace, can have a bigger impact on the next generation than we do on this generation. This is how it works. Now, certainly God can use people that come from differing backgrounds, that came from nothing, but what we want to do is build on the inheritance given to us, both in good works and good character and financial inheritances as well. If the children take the money and spend it on playthings and vacations, they have wasted their parents' work. You get that? If one day, me and your mom, one day when me and your mama die, and you guys inherit money or our things or our home, if you just waste it all, what he's saying is not only are you dishonoring your parents, you're wasting their work. And you don't want to do that. You want to live wisely with whatever you get from those who have gone before us. A wise son will receive the inheritance with a grateful heart and use it for basic survival or as resources for good works. If the amount is large enough that he no longer has to work for his basic needs, he is free to work for the benefit of his countrymen. A Christian young man should not want to take from his parents' labor and use it for his own pleasure. An inheritance is a gift that he can add to. You catch that? It's an inheritance. It's a gift that you can add to and give to the generation following him. Now, do you rest on the works of others, or do you work so others may rest? Our duty to those who have worked before us is to work for those who will come after us. Now, I want to make a really important distinction here when we're talking about good works or the work that God has called us to. Bob knows and loves Jesus, and he knows that we are called to rest in Christ when it comes to trusting him for our salvation. But one distinction that people fail to make sometimes is they think, well, once we become a Christian, the work is done, therefore there's not a whole lot of work for me to do. I just got to trust in Christ the rest of my life. Well, that's true. We trust in Christ the rest of our life for salvation. That's how we are saved or justified. We are justified, made right with God, counted right with God. But the Bible tells us that we have good works that God has prepared for us to walk in. And we want to walk in wisdom and we want to work hard for the good of others. We don't want to expect others to work hard for our good. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Losers suck the teat of everybody else. They just want everybody else to work for them. God's men, God's boys, God's daughters, we work hard for the good of others. Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. That's awesome. Any final thoughts from this chapter in Boyhood and Beyond?
Yeah. I made a bunch of books, and we might send them to the library, and if you want to maybe get them, well, I might do it like next time we go to the library.
Well, how about this? If any of you want one of Valor's books that he's made, he's been writing these books, and he's got, I don't know, 10 or 12 of them, would you be willing to sell one of those books? If somebody,
yeah.
If somebody, what do you think, like maybe a dollar? If somebody wanted to maybe send us a dollar?
A piece.
Huh?
Probably about like...
A dollar a piece?
Two or one.
Two or one?
Yeah.
Okay, well, if you want to send $2 or $1 to us, then we will send you one of Valor's books. You just got to send us the money and then give us your address, and then you can get one of Valor's books. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Okay, good deal.
Same thing.
Ransom, what's some of the good work that you've been doing lately, and what's some good work that you can do that would be a help to other people around this house?
Keep doing my chores every day.
Keep doing your chores every day? Something I really appreciated earlier is you were making lunch for your brother and sister, and you had 3 macaroni and cheeses, and you said, was that lunch or was that just a snack?
That was lunch.
Yeah. And you said, who wants the first mac and cheese? And I was so impressed because you were putting others before yourself, and I really appreciated that. That you were working for the good of other people. That was really good.
Thanks.
Well done. Okay, guys, thanks so much for listening.
Please subscribe, and I'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Sons and Slaves podcast. If you've enjoyed this show, please consider leaving a rating or review on iTunes and pass this along to every father and son that you know.